if they did not give their oath of allegiance to me, Yazid, then do what? Cut off their head and send it to Damascus.
Written in blood.
أن الحسين يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Hussein bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah. He is one, he has no partner.
Conserved by faith.
I have kept one for your father, Al-Hussein. He is much, much more thirsty than you.
Engraved in hearts.
Yazid is evil and I am good. Yazid is batil and I am haq. The only way you'll see this is if I am killed in the desert and I'm willing to go through this.
An undying faith. The story of Hussein. Peace be upon him. On the year 60 after Hijra, corresponding to 680 AD, Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, the founder of the first Arab empire, died in Syria. 3 days later, his son Yazid was appointed as his successor. His first act was to take the allegiance from the people, one by one. Yazid wrote the governors of various countries informing them of the death of his father and keeping them in their jobs. He dispatched to Iraq Ubaydallah ibn Ziyad, according to the advice of Sirjan, the slave of his father, Muawiyah. He wrote the following letter to Al-Walid ibn Utbah, the governor of Medina. Muawiyah was one of Allah's servants. Allah bestowed upon him generously.
He lived according to destiny and he died according to
and he had enjoined me to beware of the descendants of Abu Turab. Will seek revenge for Uthman through the descendants of Abu Sufyan. So when you receive this letter, take the oath of allegiance from the people of Medina. Then he attached a small piece of scroll, wherein he wrote, "Be tough with Al-Hussein, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr, and Abdullah ibn Al-Zubair. When you require them to swear the oath of allegiance, whoever refuses, kill him and send his severed head to me."
The governor of the city of Medina at that time was a man named Al-Walid ibn Utbah. Al-Walid was a nephew of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who had just passed on, and so he was inclined towards the Umayyads. His father Utbah had been one of the disbelievers who'd been attacking and killing the Muslims. He'd been one of those enemies of Islam who had started the Battle of Badr, and he'd been slain on the battlefield by Amir al-Mu'mineen.
And when it is uncomfortable, because he knows it's a difficult task to force Al-Hussein and Abdullah ibn Zubair in a position where they swear allegiance to Yazid, who, on top of being known for not much dedication to Islam, on top of doing some of the greater sins, he was much younger than they were, 20, 25 years, perhaps more younger than they were. He was not a companion of the Prophet.
He didn't know what to do. He was perplexed. He walked back and forth. Finally, he decided to summon someone to him who would be able to help him with this. And so he summoned to his presence a man named Marwan ibn al-Hakam.
Now, the grandson of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Al-Hussein ibn Ali, salamullah alayhi, was in the mosque of the Prophet. Various dedications to prayers and dua and a'mal and teachings, perhaps. With him was Abdullah ibn Zubair, or he was in the vicinity. And therein comes the messenger from the governor. It was dark, it was nighttime, and the governor requests the presence of yourselves at this moment. Now, immediately Ibn Zubair is worried. What is this demand? Usually the governor does not greet people at his home at night. This is something unusual. Something must be wrong, or they must be planning something.
The Imam told him, "Don't worry, I will tell you what has happened. Muawiyah has passed on, Yazid has taken the throne, and he wants us to give our allegiance before the people find out and before we can do anything about this." Immediately, Abdullah ibn Zubair decided he did not want anything to do with this, and as a matter of fact, he would go into hiding from that point on, and he would go in secret and move away from the city of Medina. And he said to Imam Hussein, he said, "I fear for you, I fear for your life if you go before Al-Walid." The Imam said, "Don't worry, I have the strength to resist Al-Walid." And thus, the two parted company. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam answered the summons of Al-Walid with bravery, with courage, with steadfastness, but also with intelligence.
Imam al-Hussein informed his family members to come with him. Some narrations say there were 18, others indicate a higher number of the companions and the family members of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam who had come to him and had accompanied him to the place where the governor of Medina had been residing. Imam alayhi salam said to them that I will go and I will speak to him, but if you hear loud voices, in other words, this is an indication that my life is in danger, then ensure that you enter, then ensure that you come in. So they waited outside.
So Al-Hussein makes his way to the house of Al-Walid ibn Utbah, who was the governor of Medina, who was appointed by Muawiyah and kept by Yazid as governor. And with him is the chief advisor to the Umayyads from the very beginning, from the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan, even before then, Marwan ibn al-Hakam. And Marwan is extremely anxious that Al-Hussein gives bay'ah because he knows the will of Al-Hussein. He knows how the people will gather around Al-Hussein if he chooses one thing that goes against what the Umayyads want. And so Al-Walid says to him, the Khalifa Muawiyah has passed away and he has appointed his son Yazid as the Khalifa and I have been commanded to take allegiance from you.
At first, Imam Hussein alayhi salam said something that was reasonable. He said to Al-Walid, "A man like myself, it would be no use for someone like myself to give allegiance behind closed doors in secret in the middle of the night. After all, this was not any person. This was one of the most important people in the community, the grandson of the Holy Prophet." He said, "It's no use for someone like me to give my allegiance in the middle of the night. Leave the matter for tomorrow. When you ask the residents of the city of Medina to give their allegiance to Yazid, then ask me too, and we will see what happens."
Walid became convinced that this is indeed the best course of action, and he said to the Imam that this is fine, we will do this. But Marwan ibn al-Hakam immediately objected and said to Walid, "Woe be to you. If you allow Hussein to leave this gathering, this setting in your house, he shall never give allegiance or bay'ah."
So Hussein turns to him and he says to him in a rough manner, "O son of the blue woman," which in the Arab times was known what the meaning was, because his mother used to have a disnoble profession. He says, "What do you want? Do you want to shed my blood? Do you want to have me killed? Who are you? Who is going to kill me? You? You are a coward." In a way, the Imam is saying to him, "You are a coward. So what you are proposing is lies and, you know, corruption."
Then he looked at Walid once more and said to him, "O Amir, inna ahlu baytin nubuwa. We are the progeny of the Holy Prophet. وَمَعْدَنِ الرِّسَالَةِ We are where the prophethood and the messengership of the Holy Prophet of Islam was received with. وَمُخْتَلَفِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ And the meetings of the angels. بِنَا فَتَحَ اللَّهِ وَبِنَا يَخْتِمْ With us Allah brought the religion of Islam. And with us Allah ensures the religion of Islam spreads. وَيَزِيدٌ رَجُلٌ شَارِبُ الْخَمْرِ Yazid is a man who drinks intoxicants. وَقَاتِلُ النَّفْسِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ And he kills innocent civilians, sacred souls. مُعْلِنٌ بِالْفِسْقِ He has openly declared his wretchedness. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلَهِ Someone like me does not and cannot give allegiance to someone like him. A very powerful, profound statement by the Master of Martyrs, alayhi salam. Somebody like Imam al-Hussein, it is inconceivable for someone who is so pure from the line of purity and nobility to give allegiance to someone who is so wretched and evil like Yazid.
And Hussein responds and says, this I cannot do. So again, Walid persists.
A fight broke out. The situation heated up. When all of a sudden, these men who were stationed outside of the mansion came in and encircled Imam Hussein, and thus they escorted him out peacefully, never to be seen in there again. Marwan was furious. He said to Al-Walid, "You let him go now, and now you're never going to be able to catch him again." Al-Walid said back, "Blame someone else, Marwan. You asked me to do something that would destroy my religion. Anyone who sheds the blood of Al-Husayn ibn Ali is going to end up in the hellfire forever. I do not want that on me."
Now, Walid ibn Utbah's wife is rather a noble woman, and she says to him, "Why did you talk to Al-Husayn, the grandson of the Prophet, in this way? Why were you rude to him? Why were you shouting at him in this way?" And Al-Walid tries to explain away the actions of himself on that night. But the point is, even the people who are related to the authority, even the people who have something to lose by leaving the Umayyads, know that right is on one side and wrong is on the other side.
In the same night, Al-Husayn visited the grave of his grandfather, the Messenger of Allah. A beam of light emanated from the grave for him. He thereupon said, Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. I am Al-Husayn, son of Fatah, your son and the son of your daughter, and your grandson whom you appointed to take charge of your nation. Testify against them, O Prophet of Allah, that they betrayed me and did not safeguard my right. This is my complaint to you till I meet you. Imam Hussein kept bowing and prostrated till morning.
The next day, Al-Walid sent out a messenger to try to find Imam Hussein. But try as he may, the messenger could not find him anywhere.
Marwan is also out scouting and he sees Al-Husayn by the Mosque of the Prophet, whereupon there's an exchange of words.
Imam alayhi salam says to him, "Alal Islam as-salam," that you should forget about the religion of Islam if the Ummah is led by a ra', by a leader such as Yazid.
That night, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he went back to the grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He had to make a final decision about what to do.
And he would pray to Allah. And he would say, "Allahumma inna hadha qabr nabiyyika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Oh Allah, this is the grave of your Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his holy progeny. Wa ana ibnu binti nabiyyik, and I am the grandson of your Prophet. وَقَدْ حَضَرَنِي مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مَا قَدْ عَلِمْتُ, and what has come down to me, you are fully aware of. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ الْمَعْرُوفِ, O my Lord, I love righteousness. وَأُنْكِرُ الْمُنْكَرِ, and I hate evil and vice. وَأَسْأَلُكَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ بِحَقِّ الْقَبْرِ وَمَنْ فِيهِ, I ask you, O thou majesty, O greatness of yours, in the sake of the one who is buried here. إِلَّا اخْتَرْتَ لِي مَا هُوَ لَكَ رِضَى وَلِرَسُولِكَ رِضَى, that you choose for me whatever you are pleased with and whatever your Prophet is pleased with. The narrations say, then he breaks down in tears. Imam Al-Husayn is crying next to the grave of the Holy Prophet. He is crying and crying, and he spends the whole night next to the grave of Rasulullah. Towards sunrise, he falls asleep on the grave itself.
And in there he sees a vision. He sees the Prophet welcoming him, smiling at him. He sees his mother and his father and his brother and the rest of the noble family of Banu Hashim welcoming him. And he says to his grandfather, Prophet, "Jaddah ya Rasulullah, let me come into the grave with you." And the Holy Prophet says to him, "No, now is not the time. You must seek shahada, martyrdom. You must gain this martyrdom before you are to join us. This is destined for you." Thereupon Hussein knows that whatever is going to happen in the coming days, he has an end where he must sacrifice his life.
When Imam Hussein alayhi salam went back to his family and Bani Hashim and he told them about what he had seen, they began to cry too, because they knew the time had come that Al-Hussein would be martyred.
Another of the family members was the righteous wife of the Holy Prophet, Umm Salama, radhwanullahi ta'ala alayha. She came to Imam al-Hussein and said to him, "O my son, do not leave. Do not make us saddened by your loss."
And she said, "Your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, very long ago, he gave me a vial. And in this vial was a bit of sand. He said, 'This is sand from a place called Karbala. This is the place where my grandson will be killed. When this sand turns red, you will know that he has been martyred.'"
She says, "I fear from you, from the people of Iraq. You should not go there." And Hussein says, "I know this. I have been informed of this. I knew this since I was a child. And I can show you the place where my companions will be killed too." And likewise, he gives her some soil and he says to her, "This will turn red on the day that I am killed. This will boil with blood." And so his mind is made up.
It was time to depart from Madinatul Munawwara. Imam al-Hussein, peace and blessings be upon him, took his family members, took the sons of Imam al-Hassan, took Sayyida Zainab salamullahi alayha, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, Ali al-Akbar, his son Ali al-Asghar or Abdullah al-Radi', several of his daughters and other members of his family.
It's related that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had a very young daughter by the name of Fatima. History would record her name as Fatima al-Alila, because she was too ill, too frail to make the journey to Kufa and ultimately to Karbala. She saw that her brothers and sisters were coming with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and she couldn't understand why her father was leaving her. He told her, "My daughter, there's no way you can make the journey through the desert like this. You have to stay here. Stay with Salama, stay with al-Banin, they will take care of you."
Yet she was very much attached to the young six-month-old infant of Imam. And she asked the Imam to leave him in Medina and not to take him with the caravan towards Karbala.
The Imam told her, "My daughter, how can I leave him with you? He's a baby. His mother needs to care for him. Who will feed him?" She realized that she was going to be alone. And so when the Imam was leaving, it said that she looked back at him with those big eyes, those childlike eyes, those trusting eyes. And she said, "Father, are you going to come back?" What could the Imam say? Should he lie to his daughter? How could he tell her the truth? Finally, he said to her, "My daughter, be patient."
Imam alayhi salam left Medina, according to narrations, on the 28th of the month of Rajab, year 60 after Hijrah. And he made his way towards Mecca. They said to him, "You must take routes which are not customary, so that the mercenaries and the spies and the assassins of Yazid would not come to haunt you." He said, "No, by the will of God, I shall be protected and I will go through the normal means and the roads." And he did do this. He reached the city of Mecca al-Mukarrama on the 3rd of Sha'ban, year 60 after Hijrah. A new chapter in the movement and the journey of Sayyid al-Shuhada then began.